In order.
Excuse me.
Mr. Hug?
Yeah, this is actually a workshop to remind council back whenever it was now, some number of months ago. You approved hiring Tyler Technologies, which we know as CLT, to do a townwide reassessment of the properties in town. The last reassessment having been done, I think, what, Diego, 92, we figured out, or some number of years ago. And you remember there were a lot of issues relating to how some of the area values were assigned and whatever. In any case, the contract with Tyler Technologies includes them going out and doing all of their field work, which they've been doing since August or September, I guess, collecting the information that's in the street files, going to properties, photographing, and whatever mechanisms they've been using. Their contract also then requires that they come to council shortly after the first of the year to present the results of that field work. This is not the assessed values. That's coming very soon, but this is the result of all the field analysis. And Diego can give you the exact schedule, but the next steps in the process will be to deliver the preliminary revised assessments. Those go out to property owners. They're followed by a fairly concentrated couple of weeks or so of what would normally be called appeal hearings or review hearings, after which CLT presents the results to the town. And then council will adopt the new assessment in advance of the May tax period. And from that point forward, we'll follow our normal process, which includes an appeal to council by people who, you know, want to officially appeal their tax bill and their assessment, the rendering of tax bills and what have you. I've asked Diego, who is you're the supervisor or manager, I'm not quite sure what your correct title is, but he's been running the CLT operation for us and with a fairly good-sized group of people to come and make the presentation tonight. So, Diego, if you want to come up, and I'm going to turn it over to you.
Good evening. My name is Diego Samanez. I work for Tyler Technologies, CLT, Tax and Assessment Division. As Dave indicated, we've been hired to reassess the town of Smyrna. I'd like to give you an update as to where are we on the process of reassessing all 3,200 properties in the town of Smyrna. We have concluded the field inspections of all properties in the town, residentials and commercials. Recently, last Monday, we sent out data mailers to all property owners of residential properties in the town of Smyrna. Before the end of 2005, we sent to all commercial property owners what we call an income and expenses report request, which is a voluntary request that we ask properties, owners of commercial structures to cooperate with us on information regarding rental and expenses to the buildings. I'd like to apologize in the first place for a misprint on the residential data mailers that were sent last Monday. The original plan was to ask property owners via this data mailer to make phone calls to our Ocean City, New Jersey office, and they would take care of setting up the appointments for us for any additional field inspections or to correct any errors over the phone. Last minute on Friday, before we were ready to print notices, we received a notice from an office from the office in Ocean City that they were at the same time conducting informal hearings and receiving phone calls for four other projects in New Jersey. So we changed the phone number for a local number here in Smyrna, which it was actually designed to be the town hall central number with an extension to two different extensions that would divert the phone calls to our office. We have received several complaints on property owners that we have printed an incorrect phone number. And the way that we have tried to correct the error was by allowing property owners to till the end of this week to return data mailers in the event that they feel that we have incorrect data on them. The good thing about this data mailer is that most of the phone calls that we're getting, I would say 9 out of 10, are property owners that are actually asking whether they need to submit the form back to us, even though they agree with all the data that has been disclosed on the data mailer. So what I'm finding out is that the errors that we're finding are very minimum as to the data that was sent out to all property owners and corrections that they are asking us to enter into the system. Why the errors? That question is answered because of the fact that 75% of the times when we have a data collector knocking at a door, we're not going to find property owners at home. Many times we have to estimate the interior information. So they are instructed that if they have visited three or four other properties before they visited the vacant one or the one where there was no one home, to estimate the interior descriptive information of the property based on what they have found out by interviewing property owners of houses where they were present, the owner was present. So many times we can estimate that a property has four bedrooms when it actually only has three bedrooms. Sometimes we will estimate that the property would have two bathrooms when in fact it only had one and a half bathroom. So these are the type of this is the type of data that we are correcting at this point. So far, we have received 225 phone calls since last Monday when the notices were sent out, the data mailers were sent out. We have received 43 faxes requesting changes, and once again, these are minimum changes. We have received 261 data mailers back, requesting data to be corrected. But for the most part, property owners are just verifying or calling us to let us know that the data is correct. So that in our eyes seems to be that we have done a decent fieldwork inspection of all properties on the town of Smyrna.
Question.
Yes, sir.
If the data mailer does not require any changes, you do not need that mailed back. Is that correct?
No, you don't. You don't need to send it back. And that is exactly the kind of questions that I get. What do I do with the data mailer? Everything seems to be correct. And I'm telling them, well, the next thing that you will get is your change of assessment notice in the month of February. So
let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
I've received numerous calls, and I think other members of council have also. You'll hear from them in a minute, I think. The majority of the calls that I got were regarding information such as sheds, whether there was a shed or wasn't a shed, two-car garages, whether there were garages attached or not attached or even non-existent. How do we make those mistakes?
What I have seen is that most of the times property owner, the type of property that would ask the question regarding an outside building or what we call an outbuilding.
Well, you physically went to that property and looked at it, correct?
Yes. Yes, we did.
So how do you miss a two-car garage or put a two-car garage on a house that doesn't have one?
The answer would be I just had a lady this afternoon coming in. She owns a large building which has two units. So it's a two-family structure. Our data collector listed the garage as part of one of the properties and not on the correct one, only because the garage was sitting in such place that it was difficult for them to tell whether it was with Unit A or Unit B. So,
well, just so you know, you listed me as having a large shed, and I've never had a shed.
Okay. Is there a shed on the back of the property? I would like to probably review the information.
We called and hopefully rectified that, but I got about 8 calls, I think.
Well, my thing was the fax number that you gave, when you tried to fax it, it was disconnected. It said on there, this phone is disconnected. Then you called the phone number, and nobody answered. It beeped as it was a fax machine.
Right.
It is the fax number.
But no, yes. But you didn't listen to what it said. On their paper, it had fax number.
Correct.
For a fax. Then here it said a call.
Telephone number, right.
So when you called the fax number, it was disconnected. When you called that number, it became a fax number. Mm-hmm. Well, most of the people that have called me, they didn't have a fax number. They were trying to get a hold of you, and there was no way to get a hold of the company.
What's happened? I can answer part of that. A number of those people subsequently called one of the two town hall regular numbers, and they were transferred to CLT, or they were properly informed that the 3492 number is a fax number, and they could fax their, if they had access to a fax machine, they could go ahead and use it. I don't know how, I didn't count how many, but I know that even yesterday when we were closed, I was in here for a couple hours, and I don't know how many times the phone rang on Carol's line and picked up, and it was basically people saying, you know, leaving a message for someone to call them with the correct number. And I think I must have given you guys 25 or 30 faxes this morning that came in. So, you know, the word has gotten out, but what Diego has done, what he's indicated earlier, and we've been reiterating to people that you know, we're extending that deadline an extra week. So if there was someone who was trying to reach CLT and didn't get through, you know, if they call Town Hall, they're going to get transferred immediately. If they need to call CLT, they'll get the right number directly. So we're making that extra effort.
How is anybody going to know by just calling the Town Hall?
I mean, that's how most of them are finding out. I'm hoping if the press gets here tonight that we can...
I mean, why can you put something in, send everybody a letter back, eh?
That's awfully... I mean, first of all, you don't know who to... You don't want to send 3,200 letters out, because the number of people who have these, who got these mailers, is not all of the members, not all of the properties.
I got 22 applications that people gave to me that they just said, what do I do with it? They didn't know what to do with it.
Are you going to stay for the regular meeting?
Yes, if you.
Well, I think that would be a good idea, because there's going to be some people here.
Okay. Yes, I will remember that.
The other thing was, it was due on a state holiday.
Due on the 16th.
Well, back when we were data collecting on the field, we left on every property that we visited what we call door hangers and a pamphlet that would indicate that if anyone would have any questions, they could direct themselves to our 800 number. Many of the property owners that I have spoke to, they had called the 800 number, and they had referred them back to the local number that was given to us when we were printing the notices. It was a miscommunication between our company and Town Hall. When we requested a local number with extensions, we got the correct extensions, which are the extension that we have used all along. But for some reason, the numbers between the phone number and the fax were miscommunicated. And this is how we created this error.
But what's going to happen to the people that, if they don't know how to correct it, they're going to be...
Well, there is time for them to approach us. Most of the property owners will approach us when we send the change of assessment notice indicating that their old market value of $150,000 has changed it to $280,000.
But are they going to be penalized if they don't get it in there by this week?
No. We would make any attempt to make any changes. We have actually taken people walking in, because for some reason we have had plenty of people walking in between Wednesday and today. Today was kind of slow. But
walking in where? Here?
Walking into the office, yes. We are downstairs in the lower level. And like I said, we try to accommodate these people. We're not denying them the right to bring back the data mailers. But what I'm finding out is that don't get me wrong, there are some errors, obviously. I mean, we are humans. We made errors when we went out on the field. But most of the errors are on property that we have to estimate. Properties that were fenced around that we could not get to the backyard. Properties where we knocked at the door and nobody answered. So obviously the instruction where you have to estimate to the best of your ability as to the descriptive information of the property based on comparable properties that you have visited. So that's what I'm finding out. I have found very few errors regarding, for instance, the square footage of living area on a property. Perhaps if we knocked at a door and the story height that we have called for is 1.5 story, a property owner is coming in and telling us, them two dormers up in my roof are not living space. It's totally unfinished. So what we do is we have set up an inspection. We have conducted 35 inspections since we started this process of responding to the data mailers, and most of them respond to living space questions. Although we measure the exterior of the building, and we have not gained any access to the property, it's difficult to tell. Even on some of these two-story newer homes, we account for the – if we're not inside the property, you can find out – the sections of the dwelling that would have cathedral ceilings, for instance, that we should be accounting them as a one story, but instead, because we had not gained any entrance, we have to account them as two stories. So the data mailer is really the first step for property owners to call our attention on any errors or mistakes done through the data collection process. The second opportunity, which is the most important step of the process, is when we send change of assessment notice and we give them the tax impact. What does this mean? What does it mean that your property was worth $160, now it's worth $250? Okay? And for the most part, property owners will have the opportunity of calling us and reviewing the information with us, or they will have the opportunity of presenting appraisals to us that will actually prove their point in regards to an incorrect market value. Now, with the number of sales that we have in the town of Smyrna, which is about 850 residential sales within the last 3 years, we estimate that we're going to be right on. We're going to estimate very accurate market values. There's only 2,600 residential properties in Smyrna, out of which 850 of them had changed hands within the last 3 years, most of them being new developments, as you probably know. So what I'm trying to tell you is we have plenty of sales in order to establish realistic market value for properties.
Well, can I get the new fax number or a fax number and a new phone number?
Sure.
They need to call?
Sure. Yes. It's actually the central number for the town hall, and then all they have to do is ask for extension 29 or 37.
What's that phone number?
653-9231.
9231,
extension 29 or 37. 653. Yeah. And the fax number is 302-653-3492.
And what is that, the fax?
That is the fax number.
653-3492.
This came out of a business card given to me by the Information Systems Administrator or Manager. So,
unfortunately, I think the errors that have occurred, and I agree with you, they happen, and it's very unfortunate. I think some of them with a little bit of better planning It wouldn't have happened, but you have to understand, we get screamed at.
I understand.
For a week when these little problems occur. People think these are big problems in their daily lives. In the scheme of things, they may be inconsequential, but the electorate out there thinks they're big issues in their daily lives. And I've been getting, I went to the post office and had a lady jump me about her filing. But we'll try to answer your questions tonight and set them at ease, hopefully. So.
And this is why I decided to apologize publicly to this mistake, because I felt that we had affected many property owners that were trying to get to us to make us aware of the errors that we could have carried on their properties.
Does anybody else have any other questions or comments?
Yeah, I do. Actually, would it help if we put a big ad in the newspaper concerning the change in phone number, or I don't know if there's any little posters that do we have any public
post office
in here and library?
I might suggest we have some public billboards or something that were just information can be published.
I think it'd be very helpful to have something in the Sun Times and not buried in the back. But
back. No, I'm hopeful that
maybe in the front page or something. See here.
We got in touch with Sun-Times.
If Seth does an article about tonight's meeting tonight, it'll be in Wednesday. So we'll
No, that's right. Today's Tuesday, so it won't.
No, so it wouldn't be until next week. I apologize. Right. I think it's Monday.
We're going to miss the deadline.
Yeah.
How about the state news?
It'd be, if we tried to put an ad in now, it'd be probably Friday before we could get it in.
Well, when's the deadline next?
I mean, we're basically extending it at least a week.
A week, yes.
I think, again, to sort of reiterate, the important issue is that everybody will be getting by sometime in February
a change of assessment notice.
Change of assessment notice, which is really this is really, hey guys, we want to confirm information we couldn't get in your house. You know, here's what we've carried. I don't know that it would be a major problem, Diego, if you extended that 2 weeks and we advertised it and said, if you got a problem with your notice, please come in. I mean, I know it's going to screw up your process a little bit, but
well, we can make those changes to the last minute even before we send the change of assessment notices out. It's exactly something similar happened with deadline on the income and expenses report. We gave the owner of commercial properties, I believe it was till December 20th or the 10th of December, to return the income and expenses report. Many of them, although we got a good number of the INEs form back, many of them decided to send them after the 10th. And even though we're in the middle of trying to analyze all these INEs, I still accept them, because the more data I get back, the better off we're going to be on estimating market value. So we would never deny any property owner that decides that they want to send or mail or fax or stop by our office and drop off the data mailer. We will gladly receive the data mailer and make any changes. What I'm finding out, like I said before, is that 7 out of 10 property owners are coming in just to let us know that I received this form. What do I do with it? So I tell them, have you reviewed the information that is disclosed on the form? And they're telling me, yes, we have. Are you finding any errors? And they're saying, no, everything seems to be correct. So I'm telling them, well, keep it for your records. The next thing that you will get is your change of assessment notice. That has been my experience since we send the notices out. Obviously, the owners that will complain are the ones that are finding the errors. And like I said, we will gladly receive these notices till the last minute.
I'll ask you another question you reminded me. I understand why the income and expense information is helpful to derive value on a commercial property. But why do you ask for mortgage amount and rate of the mortgage on a residential property? How does that help you derive value?
Basically, it helps us establishing whether that was a valid sale or not.
Why can't you just ask when the last sale was and were there any?
We have access to that data.
I know it's public information.
Sure. And we have access to, like I said, to the 800-some sales that have transpired within the last 36 months. The only reason that we ask for that information is so that we can understand exactly all the factors involved with that transaction. More than anything, all these mortgages are going to be 30-year with whatever number of interest rate that they qualified for. But if for some reason someone has a special financing term, then that will help us determining that even though it's a very realistic value that they could have paid for the property, because of these special arrangements or financing arrangements, we would not consider that property as a valid sale.
Okay.
So we want to make sure that they are all valid transactions.
While we have you here, this is not a public hearing. However, would anybody like to ask a quick question or make a comment? Yes, ma'am.
I know exactly which community you're referring to. We consider these double whites personal property. I do know that there is a practice in town, as well as we found out in Dover when we were involved with reassessing Dover, that somehow the owner of the land would, like this lady indicated, would pass the tax bill, would spread it among all the tenants or the leaseholders of the land, and actually they are the ones paying the taxes. We will reassess the land as commercial mobile home park because that's what it is. It's what we call a glorified mobile home park. But each one of the mobile homes or double wides or ranchers or single family houses, however you want to call them, as far as we are concerned, they are not transferred by a deed. So we are not assessing them individually. We are assessing the land for as many number of for the number of sites that they have. I believe that this particular property has about 150 sites. They will be assessed based on the income approach. If this the charge for each site is about $200, $300, then we multiply that by the number of sites, we take off all the expenses, and that will give us an idea of a realistic market value for that property. So it's not us sending owners of this community or the owners of these double white properties change of assessment notices. We're only sending one change of assessment notice to the owner of the entire tract of ground, and he will be the one assessed for the land.
Somebody else? Yes, sir.
First of all, I object to being glorified.
I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
Well, that'll be public information when he releases it.
Right.
All that information is public. You can get that from town hall. Does that answer your question? You want to know what hypothetically, you're guessing there's going to be an increase in value of that real estate, and you want to know what that difference is. That'll be public, and you can get that here.
Mr. Young, do you have any questions about the assessment? They've extended the time until this Friday, so that'll give you plenty of time to get down here. And maybe at the break, if you have some questions, you could ask him. And I've asked him to stay for the full meeting, too. So if you have more questions, you can ask him then.
Anybody else have anything? Well, should we close the workshop? We'll reconvene in about 10 minutes. Thank you.
Okay.
Is he going to publicize anything in the paper?
I'm sorry. Yeah, we'll figure some way out then.
Let him sit down.
Yeah, let me get in and get turned on. Get electrified.
Okay. This is a public hearing for the rezoning of a property that abuts the end of North Street. Just how best to describe it. It's approximately 4.4 acres. It's the portion of what we commonly call the Metal Masters property that is in the town limits. Most of Metal Masters, as you know, is outside of town limits, but that property does extend into the town. There's, I guess, technically two parcels, one of about 4.4 acres, which is the subject tonight, and another parcel of a little bit over 1 acre that adjoins this property and connects to Glenwood Avenue. The property came before planning and zoning. You have their report of the planning and zoning meeting of December 21st. There was considerable debate about the project. The property is currently zoned manufacturing in the town of Smyrna. Proposed rezoning is to residential 2A. 2A, as you recall, allows single-family houses, duplexes, and a reduced number of townhouses. It encourages a mix of housing types and more urban density. The rezoning is consistent with the comprehensive plan that you adopted just at the last meeting, or readopted at the last meeting. Planning Commission recommended after their public hearing recommended that the rezoning be approved because it was consistent with the comprehensive plan and it's moved on to council. And I believe Mr. Harris and others may be here tonight to answer any questions about the property and what they propose to do.
Does council have any questions? Mr. Harris, would you or your representative like? Just give your name and address for the record. Yes, please.
My name is John Shade, and my address is Post Office Box 258, Shelbyville, Delaware. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen and councilmen. I'm here to represent Mr. Harris and the property that's located as was described. We are interested in having a rezoning of the property, and we believe that if you examine the site and the surrounding area, you'll see that it's adjacent to the Metal Masters plant. It is currently zoned manufacturing, which would allow an extension of the plant or would allow another plant to go in that site. Mr. Harris owns the plant. He desires to have no trouble with his neighbors. He's interested in having a buffer area between the single-family residential areas, single-family homes, and the people that are living there and his plant. In order to do that, the objective would be to rezone this property as described, R2A. We cite that in addition to looking at the area, that you should understand there's been a change in the neighborhood simply by the aging. From the time the plant was built and the houses were built, the whole neighborhood has kind of moved in a different direction, and the comprehensive plan now shows this property as being residential, and that would be, we think, an appropriate use of the property. Would also provide this buffer so that the manufacturing plant wouldn't be put right in people's backyard. We think that this was probably an improper zoning in the first place, but back then nobody probably cared about those things. They just blocked out pieces of land and things developed as they developed. Currently, though, that we have all these houses around there, and you wouldn't want a bunch of trucks and manufacturing being in these people's backyard. I'd like to read from the Smyrna zoning code or zoning ordinance. It's on page 5 from the appendix. The residential district R2A is intended to protect residential development from harmful non-residential uses while affording a wide variety of housing types and population densities within the town, so that this would be consistent. What we're asking for is consistent with the comprehensive plan that is now in effect and also with the zoning that Smyrna has recognized as what they want to do and accomplish in this town. The Planning Commission has recommended this, and I think that it would be for the good of the community, actually, that this was done. The alternative is not very attractive, and I would hope that the council could approve this zoning. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Any questions?
Yeah, I'm reading the minutes from the planning and zoning meeting that you all attended in December. And there were several people expressing some concern about it. And one of the concerns brought up was access and whatnot. And another concern was about a supersite, Superfund.
To my knowledge,
what's going on there?
Let me try answer the second one first. The Superfund site, to my knowledge, is not correct. And my understanding is there is two wells on the property to monitor the property, but they're not monitoring that property. What they're actually doing is monitoring the factory site, which is next door. And those wells could have been located anywhere. As a matter of fact, there's about six or eight of them out there in that neighborhood, but only two are on the property we're talking about. It's also my understanding that at the end of 2006, they'll no longer monitor those wells. The wells were put down not because they found something bad down there, but they wanted to make sure there was nothing bad down there. So far they have found nothing, and it was a preventive medicine rather than we're trying to cure it or something like that. So as a Superfund site, I think that's incorrect. And as far as hazardous waste, to my knowledge, they've not found any on the site, and these were merely preventative measures. As far as the access issue, we have not yet determined exactly what is the best way to access the site. And part of that will have to do with the fire department and emergency medical vehicles and the sales thing. We believe that there's more than one way to access the site. One would be directly down North Street, which is a 50-foot right-of-way. And we believe that that's a street that's deeded. The other way would be across a lot that is currently zoned manufacturing with an easement or with some other means. That's the other site I think the mayor alluded to on the highway, which is next to the Metal Master's old site. So there are two ways at least to get into this property. I know there was some discussion of an alley or something like that, but it seems like there's not much interest in that, and we're not interested in forcing anything where it doesn't belong. So we're going to stick with option one, coming down North Street, and if necessary, coming in through the other lot, which Mr. Harris also owns and controls. Or we may primarily come in from that way and use North Street as a secondary entrance. All of that would be determined at some later date according to the site plan and having the site plan reviewed.
Okay, let me see if I... just one other question about the Superfund site. I recall when the old Tyler plant was declared a Superfund site because of whatever was going on with it, or had gone on with it. But did that include, to your knowledge, did that include this property that extends east of the old Tyler plant or Metal Masters plant?
To my understanding, that did not include this site at all. And as a matter of fact, I've seen documents where they label these wells as, I don't know what the right word is, investigative or just preventive, kind of exploratory things where they were checking underneath the ground. The water table may pull the chemicals over, and they were testing to see whether that was happening. Apparently, it's not happening. So,
how many dwellings do you plan for this property?
Well, we have not reached a number. That will be determined by the site plan and everything, but we expect it will be somewhere between 30 and 50. I don't know whether you get that many or not, but that would be the upper level.
30 and 50 dwellings. So, I mean, is that apartments or is it?
We believe there'll be townhouses.
Okay. And has anyone done a traffic review of the impact or whatever on?
We have not done a traffic impact study at this time, no. again, we really have to determine which way we're going to enter the property. We have more than one access possibility. So
that would, Mr. Hugg, that would be done at time of site plan.
I was going to make that point. Those are legitimate questions, but they're not germane to the actual process before you tonight. The process before you tonight is the change in zoning classification. At site plan or subdivision, depending on how they develop it, they'll have to determine things like proper setbacks, highway access. They may be required to do a traffic impact study because if they come out on Glenwood is a state-maintained road, so almost by definition, they'll have to do a traffic impact study. They'll have to go through the fire company for a review of their access for fire safety. All of those things are part of the subdivision process, and that's a long process, some number of months.
All those are limiting factors, and
That will determine what the actual yield is. This property is about 4 acres. I'd be very surprised if you got to that number with townhouses, but creative design, you can do some fairly interesting things. But there will be open space requirements. There's buffering requirements to the manufacturing use next door, so it'll. There are a lot of limitations on how the property will get developed that we'll deal with at subdivision.
We believe it'll probably be towards the lower number, but we don't want to state a number and then get stuck with that. We'd either be honest and say we don't know, but it's between 30 and 50.
Yeah, the only concern I have, not with this particular property at this point, but any rezoning, is once we've rezoned a property, we've pretty much started the process for what that property is going to be used for.
Correct.
And if it's not rezoned, then nothing has begun.
It's manufactured now.
I know.
So he could add on to it or put another plant there.
Right. But if some of these things were true, the concern centered around manufacturer would be better suited for that than residential or any particular property.
I think the code is pretty clear. It'd be nice to have a buffer between that manufacturing plant and the single-family residential, and the obvious answer is multifamily. But
is there anyone else who would like to make comment? Yes, sir. If you could come up, could you come up and give your name and address for the record? Thank you, sir. What's his name? Ms. Schrade, you can sit down there.
Thank you. Scott Ohms of 104 Rodney Street. What's the difference between a single-family home and the buffer? I don't understand.
But Mr. Hugg, you want to try?
Well, I mean, in terms of the type of activity or the density?
You're adding more housing, basically, is what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, single-family is exactly what it says. It's a single-family unit. It's the typical house of whatever size on a lot with its own front yard, side yards, and backyards. In an R2 district, that would be a minimum lot size of about, if I'm right, I think 5,700 square feet, something in that order, which would mean that you could get, again, depending on design, you could get somewhere between 3 to 4 at the low end and 6 to 8 at the high end single-family houses per acre, and that's really a wide range, but it depends on access questions. And that is residential district R1. That's pure and simple single family. Residential district R2, R2A, and R3 are districts that allow different kinds of housing types, including single family. So you could have a single family house or houses in an R2A zoning district. But the intent in R2A zoning district is to allow the kinds of development that are more consistent with the sort of historic development of the town, and that includes duplex units, which is two residential units sharing a common wall, each with their own property, our own parcel, but only having one side yard and a front and a backyard, to some combinations of townhouses. We don't permit the same level of townhouse development in R2A that we do in R3, which is essentially your apartment and dwelling type. But it would allow townhouses, duplex houses, or single-family houses.
I know all of that, but I guess I misrepresented my question there. Is what's the difference between you're calling it a buffer zone? It's still housing.
is what you want to do.
Right. The comprehensive plan clearly calls for that area to be residential use. When we started the comprehensive planning review process back in 2002, there were two or three parcels in that area of town, actually, the Meadowmaster site being one, and a property on, can't think what street it is, but down near Smyrna Clayton Boulevard as you come into town, that were zoned under the old zoning ordinance as manufacturing. The old zoning ordinance this predates the current ordinance, is a very traditional zoning ordinance. It allows in manufacturing almost anything that you can think of that's not commercial or residential. You know, it is a zone where you...
Only if the building permits allow him to do that, right?
Well, if he has the zoning, he's allowed to pursue, you know, Mr. Harris could expand his Meadowmaster's facility, you know, over most of that site. And as long as he met the erosion and sediment control and parking and other requirements, it could be a manufacturing plant. When we did the comp plan, it didn't seem to us that the actually 5 acres, the 4 acre plus the one on the front, or this other parcel that's down near High Street and Smyrna Clayton Boulevard, that are in the middle of predominantly residential districts, that it made sense for them to be a non-residential use. And so I'm going to put words in Mr. Slade or Mr. Harris's mouth, but the comp plan that was adopted by the Planning Commission and ultimately by Council and readopted essentially says that a residential development there is a better, you know, is it maintains the character of the neighborhood better than leaving it manufacturing and allowing it to be developed for some kind of manufacturing purposes, which has a whole bunch of other issues associated with it.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to convene the regular meeting, then we'll come back into the public hearing. Chief, could you open us with a Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If we could please have a brief moment of silent reflection. Thank you. I'll reconvene the public hearing. Is there anyone else that would like to make comment?
Yeah, I would, actually. I noticed that Representative Ennis mentioned that there is a report that should come out concerning a site, the Tyler site. I was trying to... And that's due out in 2006. I need some more information, I guess. Is that going to affect this property? Should we just delay any rezoning or any building until we know what that report is?
If I can attempt to answer that, and if Mr. Ennis wants to comment, certainly would encourage him to do so. It's my understanding that I'll back up. The Tyler Refrigeration Pit site is the property immediately to the north of this property, between it and Glenwood Avenue, and approaching the parking lot of the existing Meadowmaster site. And if you've been out there, there's a pump house, a water tank, or a steel tank, I'm not sure what it's, a water tank, and then there are some, I guess we're part of drainage basins or stormwater ponds or something in that portion closer to the highway. The property was determined to be contaminated. It was placed on the EPA Superfund site. I don't remember the date. Do you remember, Bill? It's a long time ago.
5 years ago.
It's my understanding, and I believe I have a document somewhere in Town Hall, but it's my understanding that the property was officially delisted from the EPA Superfund site this year, and that what's due out in 2006 is what would be the closure report. It's the, you know, the end of that process. What happens is that once the cleanup activities are conducted, then there's a long period of monitoring, which are what these monitoring wells are for, to determine that there is no contamination resulting from the site. When the site has been determined to be remediated and there is no further evidence of contamination, then there's a process in EPA to actually take the site off its list. In any case, the owner of a property that was a Superfund site, whether it was an EPA site or a state site, still has a liability to determine that there are no contaminants and to mitigate any contaminants that might be discovered during construction. So, you know, it's not like this site. It's just going to be bulldozed and without any attention to the fact that it was ever listed.
Mr. Hugg, can I?
Yeah.
And correct me if I misspeak. It's my understanding that the way that process works, the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control oversees that program,
right,
with oversight by the federal government. We have no responsibility, liability,
right,
interaction with that. Right. They'll say whether or not the site can be or cannot be developed in whatever fashion that may be. And the property owner will have to deal with them.
And they're one of the review agencies that will review any site plan or subdivision plan that the owner brings forward.
Same as DLDOT and
right,
KCD.
So their sign-off will also have to be obtained.
And it's also important, I think, to note, even if there is contamination, it's my understanding that there is not, on the property next door we're talking about. We're not talking about this property now.
Correct.
We're talking about the property next door. This site that these gentlemen are asking to be rezoned will be on city water. Is that correct?
This site will be served by city water, city sewers.
There'll be no individual wells for potable water.
Correct.
And I think Denrec rather enjoys, if we were talking about the Tyler site next door, that you put down a parking lot on top of these sites to keep the rainwater from infiltrating into the aquifer and further dispensing that plume if there was one. Are those all fair statements?
Those are all correct statements.
Is there anyone else who would like to? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members of Council, Bruce Ennis, 522 Smyrna Clayton Boulevard. Just a couple comments. I assume we're under a pro and con section here. On the issue of the Tyler refrigeration pit that was discussed at the planning and zoning meeting. In fact, I was one of several that discussed that issue based on an email over the internet. As you indicated, this goes back to 1952, 1969, when Tyler Refrigeration located that site, which formerly was owned by Clark Equipment, as you know, and then formerly Wilson ahead of that. And I'll just hit a couple of highlights, not to spend a lot of time on this. But in no way I want to clear up, no way did I insinuate that the site of this pit is the area that we're speaking of. But it is near the site. That's the issue. Analysis of the groundwater on site, specifically down Granton from the loading dock, revealed elevated concentrations of TCA. About 5,000 people received drinking water from the Smyrna municipal wells. 60 homes stand within a quarter mile of the site, with the closest being 300 feet, and obviously it'd be closer than that if this goes through. The site was proposed on a national priorities list of the most common serious uncontrolled or abandoned hazardous waste sites for long-term remediation on June the 10th, 1986. An analysis of the groundwater in the pit area revealed elevated concentrations of TCA. As was indicated, EPA is presently conducting a 5-year review and will issue its final report late in 2006. So, to me, until they complete that review, it would seem like we don't really know what the review is going to show until they complete it, as was referred to, I think. The action before you tonight is one that I receive considerable opposition to from sources unlike where I usually receive them. Many times I will receive complaints as a state legislator, by mail, in the public that I travel, in restaurants, or by phone. Complaints have come verbally, in this case, from my neighbors on Turner's Row, Smyrna Clayton Boulevard, North Street, actually High Street, and Linwood Avenue. The applicant's location that we're speaking of is really behind my backyard, so it's not hard to get complaints when my neighbors have a concern. Since June the 4th, 1984, the west end of North Street, referred to a paper street, has been abandoned by the town of Smyrna and was legally so recorded in the Recorder of Deeds. This section of North Street, which was abandoned by the town of Smyrna, was properly recorded in the recorder deeds office. Should council grant this rezoning change to residential, the access from North Street would be limited to only one end of the proposed street. The other end has been abandoned by the town, by former town action. The fire department, as was indicated here, had a concern in the planning and zoning meeting that there's not dual access to that area. In reality, even that area doesn't have one full access from North Street because they can't get out the west end of North Street due to the fact it was given to four property owners. Well, I understand fully that this is simply a zoning change request. It's difficult for me to understand why you as member of councils would consider such a change at this time with the existing barrier that exists on the west side of west end of North Street and no secondary access identified at this point, before you would grant such zoning change. I trust that you would delay action on this so that we can not get the cart before the horse, and also have the residents of that area continue to maintain a good quality of life that they've enjoyed to date. So in short, I have received a number of complaints, obviously from neighbors, and we just feel that this time, as presently presented, it's a plan for disaster because it hadn't been thought out and worked out to the extent that the accesses normally required by the fire department have been addressed. Thank you.
Anyone else would like to make comment?
Gene Mullen, 48 Oak Drive. I'm not so concerned with the zoning change as I am about the site itself. Superfund sites in the town of Smyrna are rare, and I would just ask council to wait until the final report on the site comes down. There isn't any reason to jump the gun. If it's still contaminated, you're going to be able to know it. Monitoring wells are usually checked either twice a year or once a year. Copies of those reports, what they found in the well, are available to you now. I would just ask you, get up with somebody, try to find out what the contaminants are, if there are any, before you change this zoning. Thanks.
Mr. Hugg, didn't you just say that this was not a Superfund site?
It's my understanding that Gene, you may, or Billy, you might know the correct process, but it's my understanding that this site is being what EPA calls delisted. Delisted
this
means...
This site or the site next door?
The site next door, but and I don't know whether my understanding is that it's actually the pit site, which is the adjacent property. But in either case, the listing of what is referred to as the Tyler Refrigeration Pit site has been represented to us as being delisted in 2005, which means it's removed from the active Superfund site list. It's always a Superfund site. I mean, it's always subject to that identification, and any future developer has to address that issue with DENREC. The question is it an active Superfund site, which means is there contamination that's being that needs to be mitigated and addressed before anything can be done with the site? And if there isn't, then, it's, quote, delisted, which means it's taken off the active site. And I think that's correct.
Do we have anything in writing from the EPA that actually states that?
Mr.
Harris. My name is Dave Harris.
Why don't you come to the microphone?
you should give me a prescription.
You got a shot.
Okay, here. You ready?
My name is
David Harris, and this parcel of land is not on the Superfund. It was the Metal Master plant. There's just been test results. We just got test results. Metal Masters is responsible for monitoring this site and doing any cleanup or anything that's done, that has to be done. We just had reports in the last couple months, and you're welcome to have copies of them. We got them, that there's no contaminants in the water or any contaminants that are there are within acceptable levels. And
these are the same reports. This has city water anyway. So nobody's drilling any wells.
No, you can't. In fact, I think there's a prohibition against drilling any wells that's going to be taking water out. My understanding is that there's a prohibition on anybody drilling a well and taking water in, I don't know what the radius is around that area.
Well, you can't do that in the town of Smyrna anyway.
No.
You can't even drill a well to water your grass.
You can't have an irrigation well.
No. Or a potable drinking
water. Right, and certainly not a potable drinking water well. So
there's reports available now, like I say, the tests in the last couple of months that everything is within acceptable levels. There's no contaminants in any of those wells that are on the property right now.
Let me ask you this. Would you be willing to, and I know you have to spend some money to do this, so I'm fully aware of that. Would you be willing to do just a rough concept sketch for us if we and be agreeable to table this issue till the next meeting so we can kind of get a feel for what it might look like?
It's more than a little bit. I mean, to come up with a concept, we're going to go out and hire engineers and what have you.
I understand.
Until we get to the point where, like you say, I want to be assured that we're going to,
Well, I understand.
Yeah, well, where we are.
Mr. Harris, if you were living in a neighborhood like Mr. Ennis is,
I'm removed.
Well, what I'm willing to say to you is, I mean, I think we need to, I don't know what that means, but I would have, and that was really not a good thing to say. At any rate, threw me off my track, I'm sorry. If you lived in a neighborhood and around this land, if I were in that neighborhood, I would also be concerned, and I would want the assurances, I think, more assurances than maybe from your own personal exploration, but maybe from the government, that this site is okay. I'm not really familiar with a lot of the issues, but on the other hand, I'm familiar with people who think certain things and that may or may not be true, and I would think that you would want anyone who's developed this property or yourself that to assure the people that live around it that it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, we're not interested in doing anything that's not right. And what is that? Not in my backyard? I mean, everybody's got a nice green park out there with trees, That's fine for them. It's not doing me any good. Now, I got the alternative is put another factory, move my factory from DuPont down there and build it in the back. I can do that now. I'm not interested in doing that because the town actually approached me and says, can we rezone it to residential because we want a buffer with your factory? And at that point in time, I said, well, let us think about it.
Mr. Harris, would you have a problem with tabling this to our next meeting? For the simple reason is I would like to go ahead and look at the property before I don't really have a problem with rezoning, but before I do that, I would like to look at the property.
That's got what it's going to take. How long is that going to be? With it by next month or
2 weeks?
February 6th.
And then be able to give us a copy of what you've got from the Dan right now? What information you have?
Yeah.
Would you allow us, some of the members of the council, to go out there?
Sure. Be my guest.
Any other questions? Would anybody else like to make comment? Yes, sir.
My name is Ron Markham, 1409 Brentford Road, Dover, Delaware. Smyrna phone number, most everybody knows me because I'm in Smyrna every single day. I have 1.3 acres immediately adjacent to these gentlemen's property that they're talking about right behind Turner's Row. I guess maybe I'm in a little bit of a catch-22 situation here. I don't know. My intentions with this 1.3 acres that I got also behind Turner's Row was to acquire the property, which I did. It's also zoned manufacturing. The reason for obtaining that property was to keep manufacturing out of that area because I have three duplexes right on the corner of Mount Vernon Street and High Street there now. One of them is approximately 14 years old, and the other is approximately 18 to 20 years old, the other two. I have a few other properties there on High Street my father-in-law built in earlier years, and it's a nice, respectable area, and I wanted to try to keep it that way. And I acquired the property to hopefully build some duplexes on that property for the future, whether I rent them or sell them. I hadn't decided. I'd also been talking with some of the homeowners on Turner's Road that own properties there, and they wanted to extend their properties back to the fence line of the property that the gentleman we're talking about now. So I really can't give you an answer yes or no, and here I've got a property that's manufacturing also.
Has your property rezoned? Have been rezoned?
No, my property has not been rezoned.
You're planning on? That's either, what you like to see.
If I sell it, somebody will probably want to rezone it to, you know. Also, in the future, I don't want to remain manufacturing forever either. For somebody to come in there and make it a lot worse situation for everybody else, because I've got, you know, quite a few properties there right in the immediate area also,
You like to? You'd be more happy to put a duplex on your property than it would a manufacture something.
I wouldn't want a very, very thick condensed area of houses there. I mean, you know, very thick area. That's just my personal opinion. But the reason I acquired that property there was to keep from manufacturing getting in there and doing whatever they wanted to do with it and you know, more or less run the area. So, you know, It's hard to stop people from developing land, but you kind of got to make a resolution, I guess, sometimes. Is it going to be manufacturing in the future, or is it going to be residential? I mean, land's getting bought up every single day, and I've had a lot of offers on it. And on the piece I got there, and I've at the same time wanting to work with some of the homeowners there that are interested in buying some of the land to make their lots bigger. So... and all of you are welcome to come out and look at my section there also, because one of these days either me or somebody else is going to be facing probably the same music. Who knows? So,
thank you.
That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to make comment?
I think, and I know this isn't the council part of it yet, but in lieu of all the comments from surrounding neighbors, and also in lieu of the conflicting testimony we've heard tonight, before we imply that we want houses there by rezoning it, I think we need more information so we can all vote with a little more informative stance than we have right now.
I would advise you of one thing, just so that you're aware of it. By virtue of adopting the comprehensive plan in 2002 and readopting it again 2 weeks ago, you have indicated that you want it to be residential and not manufacturing. If you decide that is not now what you need to do, then we need to amend the comprehensive plan and go back through that process. Because right now what you've created for Mr. Markham on his property and for Mr. Harris on his, they are both now not consistent with the comprehensive plan.
That's not a position we
ought to leave them in. I mean, we owe them as property owners the right to develop their property legally. And whatever you decide, if you decide you want it to stay manufacturing for whatever purposes, then we have an obligation to them to go back and correct the plan accordingly. If we don't want it to remain manufacturing, then you need to make a decision about what level of residential use.
Well, I agree that it should not be manufacturing. That I don't think that would suit the neighbors out there either. I just want to allow council to make a more informed decision, because we have heard conflicting testimony tonight, and a lot of the neighbors that are going to be exposed to whatever happens out there have objected to something happening right now, at least. So
that's what I say, if we could table it till our next meeting, then that gives us the chance to go out and look at the property, and then you can give us the information that you have about the wells and all.
Mr. Markham, did you want to make one last comment?
I wanted to also, keep in mind also, it was, I did say that I was, trying to work with some of the property owners there, and if it is manufacturing, where are they going to end up with manufactured pieces of property also? If I sell them, four, five, six of them, along that area, pieces of sections of properties. What are we going to end up with? A lot more manufacturing properties? I don't know. That's something that town might want to think about, you know, how that would be worked out, too. When a, if something did come about, would you know, agreement would be selling some of the property to the people that live there now. So.
Yep, thank you. Any other comments from council? All right, hearing no further comments, I'll close the public hearing. We're now on item four of the agenda.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, sir. Just for the record, Mr. Cahill called me this afternoon and advised me that he was ill and probably wouldn't be here this evening, and obviously he isn't. Also, just for the record, Mr. Jaywork is out of town and isn't expected back till late tonight, so he will not be at the next meeting.
All right, thank you. Are there any additions or deletions on the agenda? Hearing none, what's the pleasure of the
council? Make a motion we accept the agenda as stated.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
All right.
Thank you. What's the pleasure of the council regarding the minutes? And I think you have these minutes from the corrected minutes from the last meeting?
Yeah, two of the corrected minutes.
So we've already done that.
But you've already done. They're just for your files. The only one you have before you is January
3rd.
Yeah, I
have I guess an addition. Under town reports, third paragraph, Mayor Schaefer asked about a library site committee. Who appointed this committee? Well, actually, as far as I'm the chairman of the Long Range Planning Committee, and I.
Where are you at, Doug?
What?
Where are you at?
Town reports.
On what date?
I'm sorry, January 3rd.
January 3rd. That's the only set of minutes you need to have before you.
Right.
Lost this buddy. I got it.
And actually, I'd like. It wasn't really a library site committee. As far as I was concerned, and I think the committee was concerned, the Long Range Planning Committee was that it was a library committee to investigate and report back to the Long Range Committee concerning the issues of bringing a new library to Smyrna. And those issues don't only include a library site, but also include funding and also include other issues, I mean, architecture, that sort of thing. So that was it was an initial subcommittee of a committee, of the Long Range Planning Committee. And that was my my correction. I don't know if we need to appoint.
Doing that tonight, aren't we?
Well, I thought, I guess in any procedural, I have a procedural question. Do we need to appoint, reappoint people who are a member of the committee to a subcommittee?
Well, you have new individuals. Do you want to change the name of the committee? Would you
actually? I would just say it is the as opposed to a library site committee, I would be library planning committee.
Okay. Why don't we do that when we get to item 9B?
Okay.
Anything else? Is there a motion to adopt the January 3rd minutes?
Yes, I'll make the motion to adopt it.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. I have nothing. Mr. Jaywork is out of town. Chief?
Mr. Mayor, you have a copy of my written report in your packet for this evening. Before abandoning the site for the possible site for a new police station on South Carter Road in Bon Air, council had asked me to contact our town's engineers to see if we could redesign the building and bring the cost down. I talked to one of the engineers with KCI. His suggestion was that the first step needs to be to decide how much money the town intends to spend on a new police building before we waste any more money on the design process. So my suggestion is to the council is that we have either some type of a workshop or refer it to the finance committee or whatever, some of those hard decisions before we go any further on the design process.
Well, I think we need to do something one way or the other, and I don't know what the appropriate form to do that in is. Does anyone have any suggestions? The finance committee seems to me that would probably be the best place to do it.
We could bring it up at a meeting with the Finance Committee and see what we come up with. But he said that if you downsize it too much, you'd have to start all over again, correct?
Correct.
You certainly don't want to lose the money that we've invested in engineering for this building.
Did they give us a how big a downsize that we could get?
No. That's going to cost us money to sit down and make those kinds of decisions. And I just want council to understand that before we submit any more money.
And I think we owe it to the taxpayers to make that decision one way or the other.
I think we do. We're just for council's information, we're meeting tomorrow with KCI to review. Basically, it's our more or less monthly review of everything that's going on, both subdivision projects, capital projects, and what have you. And I do intend to talk to them at that meeting. I think I advise the chief of this about the proper process and to see if I can get some parameters about what it would cost to do some preliminary look at alternatives. There is no question that we are going to lose some portion of the detailed architectural design related to the building itself. A significant portion of the money that we've spent, though, has been to determine, and put some numbers around the chief's needs, how many of certain kinds of spaces, how big they have to be, whether they need to be secure or not secure, those kinds of things. That information is not going to get lost, even if we should go through and say, sever a third of the building off, take the public space off the front and, do whatever, because you still got to figure out how many bedrooms and how many bathrooms, and that's the that work is still valuable work, whether we built a smaller building on a different site or this building reduced somewhat on the proposed site or this building as originally proposed. And but I do
think have a finance meeting scheduled.
We don't have one scheduled soon that I know of.
Do one in 2 weeks?
In the next couple of weeks, Bill?
Yeah.
We'll get
why don't we do that? Anything else, Chief?
That's all.
Mr. Hug?
You have my report in your packet. I put on your desk tonight the December 31st energy billing from DMAC. I want to call to your attention the second page of that document. It's a two-page document that has DMAC's letterhead on the front of it. It was laying on your table in front of you. For the month of December, there was energy billed to the town of Smyrna in January. For the month of December, the cost per megawatt hour is $103.28. That's 10.328 cents per kilowatt. At a total cost of $792,000 and change. December a year ago, that billing was $50.65 a megawatt hour, or a little over 5 cents a kilowatt. Simple math, that's 103% increase in the cost of wholesale energy this year, December, versus last year in December. And as you can see by the pie chart, virtually 91% of the total cost is associated with just the raw cost of energy, and then another 8% is associated with transmission and generation. So that's just to give you a little feel for what's going on and give you some current numbers. The second thing I wanted to share with you I did this as kind of a leap of faith, so I hope that council, in fact, confirms it a little bit later, but at the utility committee meeting last week, Mr. Presley made a motion that passed the utility committee, but almost all members of council were also there asking the staff to set up a public workshop. I'm going to pass down to you an outline for that workshop. The date is January 24th at 7 o'clock at John Bassett Moore Auditorium. Pat McCullough from DMAC has offered to come and explain how DMAC works, what it is, how they go about buying energy for us. David Downs, who is the CEO of Downs Associates and our electrical engineer, has agreed to come and talk about energy pricing, energy costs, and how that all builds into our rate structure. And then I've offered to, be shot at to talk about, how that all gets translated into our billing process.
what I'm handing out to you is just kind of a preliminary outline for that workshop, and unless council has major objection, I'd like to go ahead and get that duly advertised and do as much as we can to get the notice out to, you know, two folks. I know the time is short, but there was real interest on the part of the council to get that done soon, and so I'm kind of looking at the newspapers who are here tonight to, you know, help me get that word out. We'll also put some flyers and posters out.
I think you should definitely do that. I think it'd be very helpful.
I'll make a motion right now.
When it comes up. I don't know that it needs a motion, but I just wanted
step
to
later.
I didn't want to lose any time.
Do it.
Other than that, that's all that I need to bring for you.
Are there any committee reports?
We have utility committee reports or several resolutions that'll be brought up later in the meeting for us to act on.
If I can also correct the minutes of the utility committee, Mr. Cahill was present. I neglected to add him to the list, so that if you would make note of that.
I'm sorry, Mr. Presley had a question for you.
Dave, going back to your report, sure. You got a meeting with KCI to review the progress of the capital projects.
Right.
Now, just to make it clear, as the Finance Committee, we put a hold on all capital projects except the electric and the water tower for right now.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true. I mean, in terms of actually spending construction money.
Okay. Just won't clear that up.
But there were permitting issues and some other things ongoing that I hope have been resolved so that we've...
Okay. That's fine.
Okay.
Any other committee reports? Yeah, we had a business development committee where we reviewed a few things. Mark Kleinschmidt from Mac Associates gave us an update on Christiana Care. And as a matter of fact, prior to the meeting of February 6th, he's going to do a wrap-up here for the benefit of the public, and it should be very interesting. And Dave gave us an update on downtown construction, which pretty much consists of putting it on hold. That's all the improvements for the downtown Four Corners area. Any other committee reports? Now's the time on the agenda to hear comment from the public. If there's anyone that would like to make comment, please come forward. If you please give your name and address for the record, it would be appreciated.
Good evening. Larry Catalino, 931 Tamara Drive. I just had a few concerns. One last week, and I flew up from Dover. I apologize for being late and not having being prepared. The company that's doing the reevaluations sent out a letter, which I received, and I'm sure most everybody else in town received, and there was some incorrect things on it. The telephone numbers on it were wrong, and it had a deadline of Monday. So I was able to fax. I had the capability, but there's going to be a lot of people that didn't have the capability. The only way you could get a hold of them, because that number was a fax.
Not to interrupt you, but
yes,
please let me interrupt you. We did hear from the subcontractor tonight.
Okay.
They did apologize for that. We're going to extend that deadline by 2 weeks.
Basically, by 2 weeks, or till the end of the month. Basically, to the end of the month.
And for your benefit, and hopefully I implore the press to please print it if they would. The correct phone numbers to call are 653-9231.
Extensions. What are your two extensions?
29 and 37. Extension 29 or 37. 9231. The correct fax number is 653-3492.
I believe that was the number on the sheet.
Yeah, that was.
Because I was able to get through with a fax. I faxed a letter and they called me back promptly. I'm happy for that, but I'm concerned. Concerned with that what happened here. Real quick update. Now, Walmart behind me looking at trees and whatnot, I saw a lot of equipment moving around, but no activity for my little tree problem or headlight problem. And one last thing. On our utility commission, now, I was unable to attend that meeting, but I would like at that time possibly look at when they go for the base rate increases. let's look at making these standard fees the same for business and residential, because what that does, that $950 for us residential and the $650 for the business, flat rates, it penalizes the consumer who is saving and trying to cut his rate, because it artificially costs him more per kilowatt hour when he uses less. Now, it doesn't, yes, his bill goes down, but if he uses only 1,000 kilowatt hours in a month, those 1,000 cost more than the person who's using 2,000 or 3,000. Now, I don't know, you know, especially when we're dealing with, we're in a crunch and everything's going up, and we have elderly people on fixed incomes, single moms and people living in apartments, whatever. They're all being billed this $9.50 and then the kilowatt rate on top of it, which a lot of people may not realize that's making your electric bill a lot higher. Let's pay for the power that we use and not all these other things. Now, I understand there's transmission fees and other fees that are built into it. A business is getting it for $6.50. I'm not positive, but if Walmart's only paying $6.50 a month for power to their facility, that certainly is an injustice, because they've got a whole lot more than a single phase 220 line with 100 amps going in. And that's all my, or 200 amps, that's all my house has got. So I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to make comment? Yes, ma'am.
I'm Irene Cayley, live 112 West South Street, and I have a question. When are you going to do something for those of us who live in town? When are we going to get a store or a grocery store or a hardware store or something so we could won't have to go out to other places or Dover? I just wonder, because I know that you say you're going to have a Christiana, and that's going to help us. But, you know, also, if we have these stores, then the people who work at Christiana won't just go home every night or at lunchtime. They will shop in Smyrna. And I just wonder when you're going to do something for us that live here.
Man, those sorts of things are being pursued. And if you'd like to come to the meeting on February 6th, I don't know the time yet, probably about 6 o'clock, we will be getting an update on from Mark Kleinschmidt of Mac Associates, the person who's kind of spearheading that effort. And he'll fill us in on the people he's contacting, different businesses and restaurants and that sort of thing. And it should be very informative.
Well, I thought we should have something in town, because, after all, we're the older part of the place, and we're not all these ones on the outside, but we should have things good, because, after all, we're different. We look different. All our buildings are different. They don't all look alike, and the people are different. And I just thought we ought to have something for the town, the people who live in the town.
Believe me, we're not turning anybody away.
Well, thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to make a comment? Yes, sir.
Hi. My name is Terry Burl, and I live at 193 South Main Street in Smyrna here. And my wife and I moved in here about 2.5 years ago, and we moved in here because it was affordable, for one, and that's becoming less so with the way things are going. We also moved here because it's a friendly town. We like this town a lot. With the development that has been going on in this town, it's becoming more crowded and less user-friendly. It's becoming more and more dangerous for people who want to use the streets or the sidewalks to get around on without using their cars. I have a suggestion, and it's up to you guys to do something about it, and that is that in the future, when you do road repairs, that you can incorporate into those road repairs bicycle lanes for alternative transportation, bicycles, wheelchairs. I see a lot of folks from the hospital down here using wheelchairs at great risk. You know, people don't always obey the speed limits, in spite of the fact that you guys try really hard to enforce them. But my wife goes out. She has a hard time. She has, you may have seen her around town on her bicycle pulling three dogs along. It's a tricycle, actually. And, you know, just trying to get from this side of town to to the veterinary hospital the other day with three dogs in tow, was taking a great risk. It shouldn't have to be that way because pedestrians have right of way. I mean, that's a law in this state, if I'm not mistaken. Correct me if you can. But I think it's essential, anyway, that the friendly aspect of this town stay that way. You guys got to work on that. It's a great town. And it needs to be user-friendly. It needs to be kept that way. This area is growing fast. There's a lot more traffic now than there was when we first moved here just 2.5 years ago. So it's something that I've noticed just since I've been here. You know, I like to ride a bicycle. My wife likes to get out on, you know, on hers with the dogs. I see other people just walking the streets. You know, there are safe roads in this town, but it's hard to get from one part of town to another without taking your life in your own hands if you're on foot or on a bicycle or in a wheelchair particularly. So,
those are good comments. Thank you.
Yeah, if I can make this add to that comment, I think it's great. One of the issues, as I see it, is that the western side of our town is being developed without transportation north and south. The only way to get north and south is to come into town and then go north and south. We have an advantage over Middletown because we have Route 1 and we have Route 13 going north and south. But there's a disadvantage when you develop west because everybody has to come east into our town to go north and south. And I personally, if you want to get involved, I personally would talk to our state representatives and Del Dodd to develop transportation north and south west of our town. And I think there was talk of that, but I think we really need something.
It's in our comp plan.
Yeah, it's in our comp plan, and I think we really need to push for that now because you're absolutely right. I mean, I stepped out of the bank on Commerce Street, and you know, I almost got run over a couple of times, and that probably wasn't intentional.
That was probably your counsel.
I wasn't going to say that.
Well, I have to cover my shoulder here. But the idea is that you're right. There's a lot more traffic in town, and you can understand why when you look west.
I do. I understand why. And I don't think that it's a difficult thing. I think that, you know, when you budget a road repair, it wouldn't cost that much to take a bucket of paint, paint a stripe on there, put up a sign that says, you know, for bicycle use or for pedestrian use or for whatever. It's a simple thing to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Terry, just so you know, Mr. Hugg and I actually proposed that bypass and put it and got it into comp plan, and we almost got our clocks cleaned by a lot of folks for suggesting that. And we actually suggested to just set aside the right of way, even if we didn't have the money to build it now or didn't need it now. You know, we should set it aside so we had it to use in 10 or 15 or 25 years whenever we need it, so we're not in the predicament that Middletown's in now. But those are all great comments. You're absolutely right. Unfortunately, I think we lost the opportunity west of town, but
it's getting awfully tight.
It's every day that goes by is more difficult to accomplish that. Yes.
Gene Mullen, 48 Oak Drive. You probably know that, right? A couple of comments. One on the Turner's Row. I hope that council will consider the housing that's out there now. And I realize residential 2A calls for towns and mix and duplexes and up to 8 units an acre, but I would hope you would consider there are single family lots out there, small bungalow style houses. And, I hope you consider that when you approve that. Another thing, two months ago, procedures for council came up as far as the Robert's Rules of Order. Having talked to several councilmen that were on the council back in the 90s, 1997, 1998, several of them stated to me that council did pass an ordinance that adopted the Robert's Rules of Order for this body. Mr. Jaywork, it was read 3 times. Mr. Jaywork objected all 3 times it was read, and the council passed it anyway.
What years was it? What was that?
It was early 98, I believe Bob said. It might have been 97. I haven't had time to really research it. But
Mr. Jaywork said that didn't happen, but I mean, we should check into it.
When when two former councilmen tell you that it did happen and it did pass, that's I have, like I said, I haven't had time to check the notes or the minutes for those years, but I plan on doing that.
Thank you. Is there anyone else would like to make comment? Yes, sir.
John Smith, 115 Hamilton Lane. Yeah, we're going to discuss some problems with my utility bill. Mainly, my meter not being read for 5 months. My bill's coming in dated wrong. James in the office, who to me is very arrogant. I had some words with him about the bill. I'm not receiving my bills in the mail. He told me I need to pursue him to get my bills. I work all day. I don't make him come pursue me to pick up the money for the bill, okay? When this thing happened with the 5 months of no meter reading, I was getting bills, and I thought, wow, the electric must have come down a little bit. But, no, they weren't reading my meter. So I call about the bill, which is over $500 for the 4 months, and he wouldn't work with me on a reasonable payment situation. He wanted the money. So I wasn't paying. I was keeping my current bill. Well, we got into words right before Christmas, and he said to me, you want to argue with me? How about I come out and shut you off right now? So I told him, well, I'll be waiting at the end of the driveway. Come on out. He never showed up, but he did. My boy was at home with a fever, strep throat, a ruptured eardrum, and he knew all this, and he came out and shut me down anyway. And I just think that's shitty. That's all I have to say.
We do offer payment plans. And
no, you said a promissory.
Maybe Mr. Hug can check into it tomorrow.
Hamilton.
Yes, sir.
I beat you this time. My name's Gordon Miller. I live at 45 West South Street. I just, what is this thing? On the development in town, I think we're going too fast, and I have a personal reason for it. We have a very severely handicapped grandson that goes to Easter Seals. It used to be he was picked up at 7:30 and got there at 8:15. We've had him picked up at 6 o'clock and getting there at 10:30 because they can't cover all the people they've got. We're developing so fast. We're way ahead of Del Dot. We're way ahead of everybody else. Now, 90% of you don't care. I do. Just mention it. I think you're going too fast, and you're overdoing your infrastructure. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Hi. I'm Donna Smith at 115 Hamilton Lane. That was my husband who just spoke. And I just wanted to see what I can do in regards to the promissory note that I had to sign on that day when they did come out and shut me off. And when I was here in September, I was told that there is no promissory notes no more. But he forced me into signing this with outrageous payments, telling me that I'm in debt of over $1,000. And I have to make a payment on this month, on Friday the 20th, of $313 of my current bill and $346.75 of the back balance. And I have to do that three times in the next 3 months. So that's like paying two rents in 1 month. I can't afford it. And he told me there was nothing he can do. I either sign this or my electric was going to maintain shut off. And I'm here just to see what I can do. I have no problems paying it. I just need help to stretch it out, to get more help with making this. But I just can't afford.
Do you have a pen?
I don't have one on me.
Here, let me give you this. Call me tomorrow and we'll work on it.
Okay,
get it straightened out. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Can I have my pen back?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mayor Shea.
You're welcome.
Charles Hall, 900 Appleberry Lane. And I addressed this to Mr. Hug, the workshop you're going to have on the electricity on the 24th. Mm-hmm. How are we going to advertise that to the public? It is open to the public, right?
It is a public workshop.
Right. If the Smyrna Times will not print tomorrow, and the meeting is on the 24th. How is the public going to know that this is going to happen?
Well, I'm glad to see the state news is here, for one, because we're proposing to put an ad in the state news. We'll be obviously announcing it tonight is one of the ways we're going to get the word out. We've thought about some mass mailings that would be difficult to get done in the time period, but
electric bills don't go out before
electric
that,
bills don't go out, and that was we were trying to get it done. The sense I got from the council was that they wanted this sooner than later, and so I was trying to get it done.
Wouldn't it be possible to delay it just a little so the Smyrna Times can get it, which I think more of us read the Smyrna Times than the Delaware?
I think Pat would do two of them if there was enough of a...
I think so with David. I mean,
but will Mr. Downs be able to come if we put it back?
Not any time other that week. If we pushed it back into the next week, possibly.
See, I want somebody here that knows what they're talking about and can explain.
Well, the following Tuesday, which would be a 1 week, so you could at least have.
I don't know if Mr. Downs, the guy that's
if council would like to try and move it,
we're trying to get it so we can answer some of the citizens' questions.
And I think the more citizens that will be there, the more citizens that know about it.
I don't have a problem putting it back as long as Mr. Downs and Pat can do it.
Why don't we call them in the morning?
I can try and see. You know, I can see if there's an alternative date, or if necessary, we'll do it twice.
Thank you.
That's fine.
That brings up just one other issue. I mean, as far as I wish we had a public or several public billboards or some place that we could put town events.
Like your office.
Put it out of my office. I mean, I don't care. I mean, but
take some, the lower section.
But the idea is some public place where people could go by and know that town events and like this and other town events, opera, whatever, house events could be published so that and updated rapidly. And I could see maybe three or four sites in the town that if we could identify them.
When we post notices, we typically post them at town hall, the library. We've had fair success posting them in the ACME and at the police station. We post them at the post office. I was trying to think. There are five or six places that we routinely post post notices.
Sure. That's a lot of people go by that sign.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether they would let us use that sign or whatever. I mean, but that's an alternative. That's something I'd have to ask.
I'll let you use it for a fee.
For a fee, I'm sure.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's a good idea. But is there anyone else who would like to make comment? Yes, ma'am.
My name's Debbie Holmes. I live at 104 Rodney Street. My home's actually located on the corner of Delaware and Rodney, and I'm asking the town of Smyrna to do me one better with the electric poles. I have got two huge electric poles in my front yard, one in my backyard, and you're looking at me like you haven't seen them. All I'm asking you is to reevaluate what they've done to my yard and see if you can't do me one better than that.
I went and looked at them on, when did you call me, Bill? Saturday?
Saturday, yeah.
I went and looked at them Saturday. They're there, that's for sure.
True. Yeah. They are there. Is there a reason that they're all three have to be there, Dave?
There are engineering reasons why, short of a very large steel pole structure on that corner, which is the only reasonable alternative, you've got to have, I mean, that is a primary circuit that crosses the street. You've got to be able to stabilize it in both directions against storm and wind exposure. We are, and I think your husband is aware of this, we are meeting at your site tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock with the engineer, with the folks from the school district to see what other alternatives there might be. But the difficulty is, you know, Delaware Street is a narrow street. In your neighborhood, we only have about 5 foot of right-of-way, which is about where the sidewalk is, in which we can put utility poles and utility structures. We also have to miss, in your general vicinity, a number of gas lines and water lines and sewer lines. So it's not a matter of just picking the pole up and moving it to make somebody happier or not. And we have to make sure that primary circuit is safe. And so that's
you know.
Well, what about the one that's in right in the middle of the sidewalk? How do you We'll build a sidewalk.
We'll have to build a sidewalk around it. I mean, the problem is that's about the edge of our right of way, and there's a gas line 6 inches away. So I can't go very far without, you know, either I'd have to move into the yard proper. But in any case, we are going to be there tomorrow morning at 9, and the purpose is to look at that whole situation to see if we do have any reasonable alternatives. And that's the best I can do.
So does that take care of the 5-foot easement that the alleyway behind the houses?
That's my husband.
I don't think that alleyway does anything for you because it goes the wrong direction.
No, but you're saying you have a 5-foot easement there. So now I have a 5-foot easement there plus a 5-foot easement there plus a 5-foot easement here. By the time you get done, I won't have anything.
There are utility easements on all the properties in town.
I understand that, but when we signed the selling agreement, it says 5 foot off my property line, back into my property line, and the ones behind me have the same, so that's a utility easement. And
that's true.
It was written within the contract.
It is, but my point is that's an east-west utility easement, and I've got to go north-south. I don't know that easement does me any good. I mean, if there's a way to go to reroute that line to, in that direction, we'll take a look at it. But I need to come up Delaware, cross the street, get on the west side of Delaware, and get to Mount Vernon. And I don't have very many options in that area with the houses as close to the street as they are and with all the utilities. It's unfortunate. Mr. Burt and I had a conversation that, you know, many years ago, maybe the town could have looked at or should have looked at, you know, putting more of our primary circuits underground. Today, that isn't a, you know, cost prohibitive thing to do. You just couldn't, you know, so.
Wouldn't solve immediately this problem here, right. But hopefully tomorrow you can come up with some kind of alternative.
You know, we'll certainly look at all the alternatives. There are, you know, they, right now they're in, it doesn't really affect them because they've actually gained poles that may not go away. But in many cases on Delaware right now, there are multiple poles in locations where old poles will be removed and lines rerouted and transformers relocated, so that some of the residents who have complained to me about, you know, they've got a pole and now there's a pole right next to it and then there's another pole and, you know, a pole in the middle of the space between the next two. Well, there's a lot of old poles that get taken out in that process, but, you know, you're carrying 125 kV primary circuit through downtown. There is very little technically you can do to avoid a 55-foot pole. Billy, Bill Evans is our electric supervisor. You want to try and take a shot at this, Bill?
Just other than we're going to meet tomorrow morning, find out the best way to reroute. I know you're concerned. We talked to you with Sam, so I told Dave. I said we're going to do the best we can, you know, but it's in the engineer's hands as far as safety wise. We got to deal with what he says for safety. So.
Okay. Thanks, Bill. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Pat Stompaugh, 518 Cindy Lane. And I just want to hopefully help clear up something. I've had it, heard it mentioned in here tonight, and I've heard it mentioned on the street throughout the couple weeks. The $20,000 that was allotted to the fire company, that was not $20,000 actually from the town. That $20,000 was gotten by Bruce Ennis, and it was allocated to the apron of the fire company. So, I mean, fair is fair, and there's been a lot of money spent that I have objected to, and I've been very concerned about the finances of the town. But that's one area that money did belong to the fire company, and it went where it belonged.
Is there anyone else who would like to make comment? Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay. My name is Charlotte Middleton. I live at 719 Dorchester Court. I'm in the Estates of West Shore, the new development. And we've had several meetings, and one of the things we talked about was having a stop sign placed at Dorchester Court and Fayette Road. Because Route 13 is near where we're at, off of Carter Road, everybody kind of like used Dorchester Court as a throughway, and people are driving down the streets very fast. And my house is right on a corner of Dorchester Court and Fayette Road. And one particular day, and I'm concerned about my safety, I do also have a 14-month-old, One particular day, I came out of my house, got in my car, and I looked both ways, and I drove down my driveway, and a car came rearing around a corner and almost hit me. And I was very upset about it because we had asked for a stop sign at that corner. It may have been like 9 months ago. So I'm just wondering how much longer will it take to have a stop sign placed there, or do someone have to die first?
Well, I certainly hope not. Just to give you an update, the Public Safety Committee addressed that issue, speed limits and et cetera, speed bumps, and made a recommendation not to support a stop sign there. I did speak with Mercedes Rooks. Is that correct, Bill? Mrs. Rooks, and asked and explained that to her and asked her if she would be able to get a petition up from the neighborhood to show council how many people in that community are interested in a stop sign there.
Okay, that's not a problem. That'll be taken care of.
Great. That would be very helpful because, quite frankly, I support it. But, you know, for every person that wants a stop sign, unfortunately, there's another that doesn't. So if we can show that there's an overwhelming amount of support out of that community, I think that might sway the council to support that also.
Okay. That information wasn't passed to us. I mean, this is the first I'm hearing of that.
I don't know if you've had a homeowners association meeting since I spoke with her.
We have.
I spoke to her about 2 weeks ago, I think.
Okay, no, we had our meeting December 13th. So
it was after that.
Okay, but like I said, I'm right at the corner, so, you know, I'm very,
yeah.
And I will make sure the petition gets signed.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's a lot less. Rick, did you have a comment?
Well, I was just going to ask if you had considered speed bumps, but I'm...
No.
Well,
I think we talked about speed bumps at the meeting.
Yeah,
and
no, I'm thinking.
No, they're not very.
No plows would have a problem with speed bumps. So.
No. Well, no.
Get a petition.
No. We'll get the petition. And Mr. Schaefer, will we get the petitions to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I'll take care of that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Charlotte. Yes, ma'am. Charlotte. Did you have a comment?
Middleton.
Yeah, snow plow. I was going to think about that.
Yeah, right. Kathy Young, 107 West Fraser Street. Question. Back last year when all the electric problems started, they talked about putting these new poles up on Delaware Street. And we were told at that time that they would send an engineer around to talk to some of the neighbors there so that we could understand what they were doing, and also whether there was any health factors that would affect people in the area. We never heard from anyone. They didn't even notify Scott and Deb that they were going to put poles up. They had no idea, nor did anybody else along the street. If you can find out why we were not talked to, or why the medical possibilities of problems with high-tension wires. I have a pacemaker. My husband has a defibrillator pacemaker. You have children in that schoolyard all the time. And if there's problems, we need to know that. My other thing that I want to say is I'm so sorry that you all could not turn the Christmas lights off less than 24 hours a day. That really will help everybody here in Smyrna with their bills.
Thank you.
Ma'am, all of the Christmas lights are off. The town hall lights are off. The wreaths are down. The ornaments are out of the lake. But they're all down. Well, they're all down, and they were taken down and shut off 2 weeks ago.
Yes,
the rest
sir.
Of them last week.
Bruce Ennis, 522 Smyrna Clayton Boulevard. I think Mrs. Young just stole my thunder. I'm glad to hear that most all councilmen heard about the complaint in regard to poles at Rodney Street and Delaware Street. And I also got a call, as you can expect. And I think the point she was making is what I heard from the original complaint. It was not bad enough that the two people came home from work at the corner of Delaware Street and Rodney one night after work to find a pole in the front yard for the first time. There had never been a pole in the front yard before. Then come back the next night after work to find out the second pole was on the corner in the middle of their sidewalk. They just had sidewalk repairs done there, as well as a tree removed from the property. But I'm glad to see the council is moving on a meeting tomorrow. I'm sure it's very much appreciated by the residents. The other thing is that It was brought up about the $20,000, and I don't know if that was misunderstood or not, but the money that we appropriated to community transportation was for sidewalk work at the firehouse, true. But I had the impression that this was additional $20,000 in the town and not, correct, in fact, a part of this.
That's correct.
And that wasn't made clear. It was additional $20,000 from the town.
Added municipal street aid fund.
Thank you.
Right. Didn't come out of our coffers.
Right.
Mr. Ennis, I also agree, and I'm not taking a shot at anybody, but we need to jump light years ahead on communicating with people in the town of Smyrna.
Well, if I can, and Bill's left, and I'm not going to get into a debate, but, you know, I know the engineer talked to many of the people along the street. I know they've been out there surveying for probably over a month. There are markers, poles, and stakes in yards that say anchor, pole, tie down. You know, they've been there for weeks. Well, they didn't show up overnight.
Yes, they did.
I doubt
please,
that, sir.
Please. Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to make comment? Seeing no one come forward, I'll. Yes, sir.
Wayne Young, 107 Fraser Street, Smyrna, Delaware. In August, I addressed the town council about the very fact of a three-phase electric line coming down Delaware Street and out Hamilton Street and up to the new medical building that's going in. I asked at that time why it couldn't just be run down South Street or the three-phase that was on 13 brought in on South Street to where the new medical building was going in. The town manager made the statement that he would have the engineer people come by and address this issue with us people in that immediate area over there that was affected. It's never happened. As for the stakes went up 3 days before the poles went up. Now, people went along with paint cans and marked the curbs. But I walk all of Smyrna every day. People, you see me everywhere. So I walk. There are the sidewalks you can't walk on because people don't cut their trees. You have to walk out in the middle of the street because the people don't trim their bushes. But here we have poles going up. We have children and grandchildren in the schools. And, you know, what is this three-phase? No one's answered questions yet. And they're fair questions. They're justifiable questions. They're not stupid, dumb questions. They're questions that should be answered. They concern our homes, our lives, our children and grandchildren. We should be given honest answers. That's all we're asking for.
Thank you.
I'd love to answer you, but I don't know to read.
Is there anyone else who would like to make a comment? Seeing no one come forward, I'll close the public portion of the meeting. Thank you very much. 8A, result of the public hearing, reference rezoning 4.4 acres behind Turner's Row.
I'll make a motion. We table this until the next meeting on February 6th.
Second.
Aye. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Second reading of ordinance 002-06, electric rules and regulations. What's the pleasure of the council?
Now, that's this one. Yeah, I just want an explanation of exactly what this does.
Okay.
Is that the wrong one? Okay.
It's 0206.
Okay. Yes, please.
Okay. Okay. Ordinance number 002-06 is essentially a housekeeping ordinance that brings the state, the town's regulations as relate to termination of services, disconnections, and certain qualified electric customers into compliance with the same regulations that exist in the state. Ours are close, but they're not entirely consistent. Mr. Jaywork suggested that we ought to modify our ordinance to make them consistent with the state, and that's what this ordinance does.
I'll make a motion. We consider this a second reading of ordinance number 002-06.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. These are both the second reading, the next two items. 2023-06, Electric Rules and Regulations. Is that a... No. That, well, we just explained 06. Let's go back to 05. I think should I think there was a typo under...
No, later. There's both. There's both.
Yeah.
2 and 3.
Yeah, 005, that is item 9C. The next ordinance on your table is 00306, also Electric Rules and Regulations. This is changing, this is one of two parts of the process of changing the base rate structure that the Utility Committee has recommended. This ordinance would change the base rate from its current 4.5 cents a kilowatt to 7.5 cents a kilowatt, with a subsequent reduction in the PPAC to be revenue neutral, and then would change the individual rate charges, energy usage charges, that are in the tariff.
What's the pleasure of the council?
Question. I guess how much would that average increase then?
So the intent of this is that it would be revenue neutral. The problem is, and which means that it would be for customers, their energy costs would go up, their PPAC would come down. Right. So their net, their combined bill would remain the same, but the split of costs. The problem is that when we set our base rate back in 1996 or whenever it was the last time it was adjusted, it was set at 4.5 cents a kilowatt or $45 a megawatt hour. And as I just explained to you, the last bill we got was $101 a megawatt. So what that causes is for the PPAC to be currently about 1.5 times the base rate. PPAC should really be much closer to 10 or 20% of the base rate, and it's really intended to simply capture the fluctuation of fuel costs. By changing the base rate, we get that relationship closer to actually showing what you're paying for energy.
Now, if by miracles and miracles we discover a huge surplus of gas under Delaware,
that we own, yeah, town has to own it.
Okay, we own it, but the kilowatt, I mean, our costs go down to let's say, you know, 0.4 or 0.4 per kilowatt, and the base rate's 0.7.
Then you have two options. The PPAC can, by definition and design, go negative. So if, for example, we set the base rate at $75 and for some reason long-term energy becomes available at $65, then you have a couple of options. You could give people a $10 credit on their bill, in other words, a negative PPAC. Or if that looks like a long-term thing, then you could come back and adjust the base rate.
Okay.
The problem is the PPAC is so far out of whack that – you know, it just bears no resemblance to anything. It needs to get readjusted to something closer to current energy costs.
Okay.
Pleasure of the council.
I'll make a motion that we accept 003-06.
Okay, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Ordinance 001-06, water and sewer tapping and repair fees.
This is also corrections to the fee structure that were discussed by the Utility Committee. What we determined is that over the years we have adjusted our water and sewer rates, both as they relate to in-town users and out-of-town users. Historically, the out-of-town user always paid at or about twice the in-town user cost, the idea being that in the best of all worlds, you want people to be in town, annexed into town, if they're going to receive your services. But there are some situations where an adjacent property, for some reason, can't annex and need service. What this does is reestablish that relationship by making the out-of-town rates for water connection, sewer connection, and for usage twice the in-town rates.
Pleasure to council.
They make a motion. We accept ordinance 00106 as it relates to water and sewer systems, water and sewer repair fees.
Trapping. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Third reading of ordinance 021-05, building regulations as they relate to dangerous buildings.
Right. This is an ordinance that, and the reason it's an 05 ordinance, you considered it back in December. We should have put it on the agenda for the first meeting in January, neglected to do so. Basically, this relates to notification of buildings that are going to be determined to be a dangerous building under our ordinance. So we do that.
What's the pleasure to council?
I make a motion this be the third reading of ordinance number 021-05.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We'll let the vice mayor handle the next one.
Okay, we have two resolutions to set public hearings to consider zoning designation and legislative fact-finding. First one is Lohman Property, 535 Lexington Avenue. Second is the Hurt Property at 28 South Howard Street.
Right.
And what we're doing today is just setting a date for the public hearing, Dave?
Right. This is setting a date for the legislative fact-finding and referring these two applications to the Planning and Zoning Commission and notifying the Office of State Planning. These are actually adjacent parcels. One faces Lexington, one faces Howard. They are, you know, their annexation is consistent with a comprehensive plan, and these applicants have approached us about having the properties be annexed.
Okay. I'll make a motion to set these dates for public hearings on both properties.
Second.
How's the council vote?
Aye.
Your intent was to do both of them, Mr.
Do both of them, yes. Okay. That would be five ayes.
Thank you.
We'd like to pass a resolution in opposition to the proposed municipal election bill. Mr. Hugg, did you want to give us a brief explanation of that?
A brief explanation of this bill is probably difficult, but the Delaware Department of Elections, I believe that's their correct title, has been drafting legislation that would rewrite municipal election law in Delaware. It's an extremely complex bill. It's been looked at by the Delaware League of Local Governments, by most of its individual municipal members. Terry J. Work did an analysis, which is attached. There are many good points to the bill. The concern that all of us as municipal governments feel is that it sets up a process that is extremely complicated. I have serious doubts that Smyrna could meet every one of them or guarantee that it could meet every one of them. And as a town manager, I'm very fearful that many of my colleagues in much smaller towns would be hard-pressed to meet all of these requirements. This does not mean that some of the things they're proposing may not be useful and good. After consulting with League of Local Governments, what I'm recommending to council and what the League has recommended as our action is for towns to pass a resolution opposing the current version of the bill and send that to Senators Vaughn and Cook and Representative Ennis with a copy to George Wright, the Delaware League of Local Governments, and offer to work through the League with the members of the General Assembly and the Elections Department to find those parts of the bill that are, you know, that would be workable for most municipalities.
And in short, I think our attorney and the League is suggesting that they're not opposed to something.
Right.
They'd just like to, you know, take the time to make sure we get it right.
Yeah, I think the that's correct, that we're not opposed to the notion of taking a good look at municipal election law. But we just don't want to set up situations where, if you were to look at the bill, there are all kinds of notice requirements and posting requirements and things that, you know, all it would take is one real simple slip up by, you know, a Felton or a Federico or a Smyrna or a Clayton or whatever to void an election where there was absolutely no intent to do anything improper or to follow the law, you know, to its letter. It's just a very complex bill.
Certain concerns over this. Number one, I don't know if we can make a resolution in opposition of anything. I think we have to make a resolution in a positive way, meaning that we make a resolution that the legislature reconsider, whatever. Second is that we all know why this came out. This is called the Smyrna Bill. and Smyrnaville is because of our past election. I find most of the provisions myself are well-intentioned and are ensure us of a an election without without fraud or without doubt. And I understand. I attended the league meeting, and I intend to attend the other league meetings locally. There are very good meetings. The towns of Delaware are concerned over towns' rights versus states' rights, just the way we're concerned over states' rights versus the federal government. I am concerned over the ability of any town to conduct a fair election that is guaranteed to everybody within that town, that the people who have voted are eligible to vote and can vote and are within the town limits, within their citizens. I don't know how a town of Frederica can guarantee that somebody who has voted in their election is an eligible voter without going through some sort of process. So I would encourage us to send more of a resolution as to saying we're not opposed to the resolution, that we are very much in favor of the state legislature adopting a law, a new law, that is considerate of the League of Voters as well as testimony from various representatives from the towns. But I wouldn't say I'm opposed to this law. I would say let's do a positive thing and say we are in favor of election reform in the state of Delaware, and we, as Smyrna in particular, are aware of the issues involved, and that we look at this law and say that we understand the intentions of the lawmakers. We would like to participate in a process of distilling this law into something which is more compatible with the towns and localities of our state. The second thing is I would want this resolution signed by all of our council. I think that needs to be done because of the situation with the current mayor, and that if we send this resolution with only his signature, it might give them the wrong impression. So I think to make it more palatable to our state legislature, and also I think to make it more compelling to them, that we have everyone sign that resolution. So two things. One is that I think we put it in a positive light, that we need we're not opposed to it. We're in very much in favor of election of reform, and that we want to work with the state legislature and the league to produce a law that is compatible with all municipalities or most municipalities to ensure an election of integrity. That's the main thing. I know for a fact that we would not need laws against stealing if nobody stole anything. But we have a new situation, a different situation that we have to address, and I think we need to do that. And the second thing is I think all of us should sign that resolution.
If I can just comment, and I'm not going to disagree with you, I do want to call your attention to page 2 of the letter from Terry Jaywork. And his specific language, I urge your council to pass a resolution so stating and send a copy. And the sentence before that, your town council concludes that this is not a good bill and the town would be opposed to it. So Mr. Jaywork apparently believes that the form of the resolution, which quite frankly was taken from some of his information, you know, is appropriate. He's not here for us to ask him that question. So, and I don't know, Mr. Ennis, this bill isn't on a legislative agenda for the next couple of weeks or anything, is it? Can you update us maybe?
To my knowledge, the bill is not on any agenda. It hasn't been numbered. It's only a draft. This bill, a number of legislators met with representatives from the Department of Kent County and Newcastle and Sussex Department of Elections, plus the State Election Commissioner, And Mr. Wright, representing the league, met every time with us. And George would say, you know, I like the idea of you inviting me to the meeting and so we'd be involved. He's been involved. Now, all of a sudden, the bill's no good. The bill is lengthy, 47, 50-some pages. But you all know the court ruled that the legislature apparently didn't intend to have any uniformity among municipalities where they would have done so. Several legislators picked up that challenge, and that's what this bill is. It could be shortened, could be referred, you know, to sections of existing law. But the reason so long is to fully explain everything. But, you know, I appreciate your input, and we'll certainly, as far as I know, it's not on the fast track, as far as I know.
And a General Assembly goes out of session the end of
January, yes.
And they're out for six weeks.
We could add to the resolution also that the any further deliberations in the bill or purposely have further deliberations and include town managers or their designees, somebody who's knowledgeable about that particular town. Something could be very different in Smyrna than it is in Odessa or something. Well, not Odessa in this case, but, you know, Clayton or Dover or somewhere else. So.
Would you want to make that motion?
That is a motion, yes.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Are you... Can you restate your motion?
To include in deliberations about the Smyrna bill, if you will, to include town managers from several different towns to allow their input into the structure of the bill and the contents of the bill.
Okay. Second? Wait.
Okay.
Before we get to discussion.
I second it.
Do you have a question, Mr. Hood?
I guess my question is that doesn't necessarily resolve the fate. If we pass Mr. Bird's motion, we still haven't passed whether we're going to send this resolution forward. I was just going to suggest, that based on Mr. Ennis's comments, that you know, we might want to defer this until the next council meeting, ask Mr. Jaywork to, when Mr. Jaywork can be here, and maybe he and I can take a shot at a different version of this. I would go ahead and...
All right, hold on. Let me save you some breath. Do you want to withdraw your motion, make another motion?
Well, you want to table this issue until the next meeting?
Yeah, let's do that.
And then we can...
I mean, I've kind of heard two, you know, concerns from Mr. Shervinak and from you, the things we ought to maybe think about in the...
All right, is there a second?
I'll second it.
There's a motion to table. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
F, refer a request for funding for a 10-year economic development plan that Levy Court is proposing. Mr. Hug, did you have any thoughts on where you would like that referred to?
I think it's probably a joint issue for both the Business Development Committee and the Finance Committee. I think probably appropriate for it to go first to the Business Development Committee if Mr. Burt's agreeable. I will tell you that I've met with Levy Court and with the county administrator and sat in with other town managers to interview the consulting firms that the county's looking at. But I think this needs some discussion at the committee level. So I would
acceptable.
Yes.
Would you like to make that motion?
I'll make the motion that we refer the request from Kent County for funding for a 10-year economic development plan to the Business Development Committee.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Resolution to clarify the pension changes for non-uniform town employees. Do you want to give us a short explanation?
Yeah, this is just a clarification. What we meant to put in there is an employee is eligible to receive pension payments upon their retirement at the end of 25 years of service, regardless of their age. And this was not clarified in their original request.
Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
Second.
Sorry, second was
Mr. Presley. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion to confirm approval of lease between the town of Smyrna and the Smyrna Business Park Holdings LLC.
We actually discussed this at a council meeting in December, I believe it was. We went into executive session to discuss some of these matters. Unfortunately, we came out of the executive session and made a motion to go home. Although the discussion in the executive session was to confirm
the approval of this lease for the property in the business park as part of the redevelopment. So the mayor has the lease documents. I just wanted council to go on record confirming our agreement to do so.
What's the pleasure of the council? Motion to
make a motion to accept or confirm the approval.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. 9A, unfortunately, I haven't been able to get up with a lot of folks over the weekend. The only appointment I'm prepared to make tonight is the assessors. I'd like to appoint Francis Lipkowski, Guy Edmondson, and Bill Whitaker, and I can supply Mr. Hug with their addresses and phone numbers tomorrow. I didn't get a chance to email them to you today.
May I make a comment? on the election board, is my understanding Mr. Schaefer has the sole responsibility for appointing the election board.
That's correct.
I might suggest a different methodology, considering, again, the last election and what happened in the last election, and I think that we need something different for the appointment of the current election board. And I may make a suggestion that, for example, we include at least one person on the election board from every new election district.
May I make a suggestion that
we have two district representatives on the council, that they make the recommendation from somebody from their district to be on the election board. But I think from the last election that we need to make a definite change in the way our election board is selected so as to renew the confidence of our citizenship and our integrity of our election.
Okay, let's, before we put the cart before the horse, can we do the assessors?
I'll make a motion to accept your assessors.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The other two committees, if anyone does have any suggestions, they'd be more than welcome to be received. One is a 7-member board, the other is a 5-member board, and these folks spend a lot of time and put up with a lot of grief so that they're not clamoring at the doors to accept these appointments. So if you have any ideas on anybody that's interested, please let me know. 9B, appointment of the Ad Hoc Library Committee. Mr. Huggett suggested these members to be appointed, and we're going to change that. Excuse me, Ad Hoc Library Planning Committee, correct?
Library Planning Committee, yes.
Okay.
And the names are in front of you. What's the pleasure of the council?
I move that we accept this appointment.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
First reading of ordinance number 005.
Dash 06.
Okay.
And the corrected copy was on your desk tonight. There was one in your packet that was either 00505 or 00605 or something. I'm not sure.
You want to give us the short explanation of that one? this is correct.
That one's correct. The one you had before.
The agenda is a typo.
506.
Yeah, the agenda has a typo in it. Yeah, right. Oh, God, how do I explain power factor in 25 words or less? Power factor is a measure of the efficiency of use of electric energy. We have six large customers, by virtue of the number of electric motors and cooling units and things. This is the ACME, the Home and Hospital, those kinds of folks. They, in some cases, adversely affect the efficiency of electric distribution in the town. Our current electric utility regulations provide a penalty on that class of customers when their power factor or efficiency level goes below 90 cents or 90%. But it also gives them a credit for when their efficiency is above 90%. And that was fine when the agreement with our electric transmission provider didn't charge us a penalty over or under 90%. The new regional agreement with Delmarva Power and Light, who is the regional transmission owner, is that utilities will be charged a penalty at any time that the power factor or efficiency drops below 98.5%. Obviously, I don't want to be paying a penalty for the Acme market when the Acme market is getting a credit for being at 95%. It's a long way of saying what I want to do is take the credit side of that equation away, still charge them for their usage below 90%. And what we're going to try and do in that sort of interval in between is work with them to put line capacitance in so that we get our overall efficiency level up on a standard basis at 98.5 or better. We're at that level 6 or 7 months a year now, and we're rarely very far below it, but these big users do have an impact. And is that more technical information than you probably wanted?
That was pretty close.
Okay.
What's the pleasure to council?
Make a motion we accept Ordinance 00506, Chapter 70, Electric Rules and Regulations, Credits for Power Factor.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Request for annexation of 5573 South DuPont Highway. What's the pleasure to council?
This simply starts the process. It's a piece of property up next to the sheriff property in Newcastle County, so there's no other action but accepting their letter of request.
What's the pleasure to council?
I'll make a motion. We accept the request.
Second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
We received a grievance from the Smyrna Police Union, and we need to schedule a hearing before the council. You had a letter on your desk this evening from Mr. J. Work. I did speak with him, I think, Friday morning before he left town.
Okay.
I might want to suggest that we maybe not do it before the council meeting. We may need more time. I don't think it's something we're going to get through in 20, 30 minutes, unless anybody else has.
The council needs
to hear the
good. The full council needs to hear it. We have a 30-day period to respond, and the 30th day is February 6th. So we either need to hold this hearing before February 6th or ask the police union for an extension.
Mr. J. Work did explain to me he thought he was going to ask, and I know the chief can't answer this, but he might give us some feel. Did he ask the union, do you know, before he left?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
He did suggest that he was going to ask if he might have another week or so. Do you want to wait? Is it possible to make a motion to have a hearing at a date not certain until we confirm what date is convenient for everybody? Do you understand?
That's what we're supposed to be doing, scheduling the date. You can't have a motion to schedule something.
To a date not certain, we could. And Mr. Hugg could when's he get back?
He'll be back. He should be back late tonight. He'll be in his office tomorrow.
I think your problem, Mr. Mayor, is this is your last opportunity to set a date before the 30 working days is up. I just would encourage you to set it before that date, and if you can arrange.
Well, why don't we set it, and we can always, if the union agrees, we can postpone it.
I would suggest, I agree with the chief, why don't you set it for the 6th, but also instruct the attorney to ask for an extension. And
what time on the 6th?
Oh, let's see. We have a meeting at 6, and that's probably going to take up most of that hour. You're probably looking at doing it at 5 o'clock or something of that nature.
Okay. 5 o'clock.
We need a motion for that.
Do you want to do it? Well,
I'll be late.
Do you want to do it before the council meeting? You think we have enough time in an hour?
I doubt it, but
I mean, all it is a public hearing. You're not. You don't have
okay.
to.
All right. Well, let's do it at 5 on the 6th. Is there a motion? Is that a motion, Mr. Hill?
Yes, it's a motion.
Is there a second?
February 6th, 5 o'clock.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, who seconded it? Mr. Evans, thank you.
Resolution reference water and sewer services to out-of-town properties. Mr. Hugg?
Okay, again, this is one of these things that gets more complicated than it sometimes needs to, but we do have properties that for various reasons need to have access to water that are not in a position right now to be annexed. And there are, for example, there are properties along Carter Road that have that are adjacent to the town water system. They are not in town limits, and they are not adjacent to town limits, but they've been told by DENREC because of their proximity to public water, they're not going to be allowed to have wells. Our policy has not been particularly clear. This is an issue that was discussed at length at the Utility Committee, and the Utility Committee has suggested is that for those properties, we agree to provide them water under the new water rate regime, but that the property or lot have a deed restriction attached that says, in essence, within 6 months of becoming eligible for annexation, in other words, adjacent property has been annexed or whatever that might be, they have to annex into the town.
They'll contractually agree to that.
It would have to be a deed restriction, so it would be a contractual arrangement.
What's the pleasure of the council?
Make a motion to accept.
Second.
Mr. Presley. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion to adjourn.
No, I have one other council business. It's my understanding, Mr. Ennis, maybe you can clarify this, that the legislature just turned down Lipstick's ability to recall their council via petition?
50-50, yeah.
By a 50-50 vote. The comments that I've read that said that if the towns have the ability to correct something at the next election. And Mr. Presley asked me to announce before I write anything to anybody as a councilman, is my intention to write to all the legislature, everyone in the legislature, to rethink any town's ability to recall any official. And I would have any all council, I would enjoy any all council to sign on to that, because I think that they did the wrong thing. Again, the reason is that you, the public, have no ability to check and balance a council that may be doing the wrong thing, or a councilman who may be doing the wrong thing. And I think that the public should have that ability. So I'll be writing a letter from myself as a councilman of the town of Smyrna, and anyone who is on council wants to sign on to that, I gladly welcome it. But I'm saying that in the future.
Anything else? Is there a motion to adjourn? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
You need to get a job where you don't work so many hours.
Just sign this lease. Are these your initials?